This WBEZ podcast is supported by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in up to 40 currencies with only a few simple taps. Download the Wise app today or visit wise.com. Terms and conditions apply. Be smart. Get Wise.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is The Rundown. Most people know Chicago is an improv comedy town. A lot of great comedians got their start here. I don't really need to name them. Just look at some of SNL's greatest cast members or a lineup from your favorite comedians and sitcoms, and you will see many of their faces. The one I will name is the person I'm talking to today, Matt Walsh. He's a founding member of the comedy troupe, the Upright Citizens Brigade, and he's been in a bunch of big budget comedies over the past couple decades. But you probably know him best as Mike McClintock from Veep on HBO, the communications director for Vice President Selena Meyer.
Hey, approval ratings just came through.
Oh.
66%.
What?
Approve. Oh, sorry, disapprove.
You know what? You go ride with the security detail. There's no room for you in this car.
Matt is one of the comics who got his start here in Chicago at the Second City Improv Theater, but his roots in the city go a lot deeper than that.
I grew up around the south side of Chicago, around 103rd and Kedzie. You know, typical city life, running around, hopping fences, throwing snowballs at each other. And then when I was like 10 or 11, we moved towards Darien and Westmont, out in the burbs.
Okay.
And then after high school, I went to Northern Illinois. And when I graduated, I lived in Wrigleyville for a long time.
Matt has been back in town on and off these days, performing at the IO Theater. He has an improv show called Meadows, Walsh and Friends. Meadows, as in the comedian Tim Meadows.
I should have never done Silly. You know, I got too much going on business-wise.
I actually saw a version of this show back in July. And with these talents, it shouldn't surprise you to hear me say that it was some high-quality improvisation. Matt, Tim, and the crew are actually reprising that show this month on October 22nd and 23rd. And ahead of all that, I connected with Matt to ask about his career, the Chicago improv scene, and a very unexpected college experience me and him have in common. Matt, it's an honor to have you here. Welcome to The Rundown.
Thank you, Erin. I'm excited. Always a pleasure to get back to Chicago.
You're from Chicago, born and bred. You're a middle child. There were a lot of you. Seven of you?
Yes, ma'am. I'm the fourth of seven children.
So were you like the ham of the family, or did that come about a little later?
Sometimes I think my sense of humor was a survival mechanism. I had three older brothers, so they would constantly like pummel me, or they would, you know, it goes downhill. So the littler ones get the grief. And so I would distract them with comedy bits and keep them entertained.
Yeah.
To avoid getting wrestled to the ground or something.
But you didn't do that to your younger siblings though, right? So you studied Psychologie und hast in Österreich gewohnt. Ich auch.
Du hast in Österreich gewohnt?
Ja, für drei Monate.
Welche Stadt? Wien.
Wien. Wien.
Wow. Were you through a college transfer program?
Study abroad program. So for the person listening who doesn't know what the hell we're talking about, Matt Walsh and I both studied psychology in college and both studied abroad in Austria. I was in Vienna. Matt was in Salzburg, right?
Wow, that's really crazy. That's crazy, yeah.
Yeah, I read that and I was like, what?
That's like worlds colliding. Yeah, that's a small world. I spent two semesters over there.
Okay.
I begged my parents to let me stay one more semester, but I picked up enough German. Like, I wasn't fluent, but I lived with a German family and traveled every weekend to Amsterdam and Turkey. And
because it's right in the middle of Europe, so you can just like go wherever. Why did you end up there?
Because I was searching. I think I was a business major my freshman year, which is ridiculous. And then sophomore year, I didn't know what I was doing. And then I remembered this woman, Judy, who's a friend of mine, had gone there. I'm like, I just want to get out and figure out my life. So I begged my parents. I convinced them that I wanted to go for a year, and I worked for the summer to help pay for my flight and everything. And yeah, that was it. I was just kind of searching and a bit lost. And it was, you know, one of the best years of my life.
Yeah. So you were studying psychology eventually, I'm assuming after business you had switched. So for me, sometimes people ask me, like, how do you apply your psychology degree to your current work? And for me, it's all about, like, I'm just curious about people, you know, and that's what the crossover is. Now I get to interview people, but I studied psychology because I was curious about that. And I wonder, how would you answer that? Where does psychology and comedy intersect for you, or performing in general?
I think similarly, I am curious about people. I'm a good listener. I've become a good listener, and I'm genuinely curious about all kinds of people and their interests and their lives. So as far as acting goes, I don't know if I've used it, to be quite honest, but okay. I think the traits that made psychology interesting are still in me.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's less of like an application and more of just like, what got me interested in that is what also got me interested in this.
Yeah, exactly. And I think people assume like, oh, you're profiling, or you're categorizing me as what my dysfunction is or something. Like, I don't, that's not it at all.
Are you psychoanalyzing me right now?
And I worked on a psych ward right out of college.
When did you?
I did. I was trying to get a master's degree in psychology.
Uh-huh.
I was working at the Northwestern Hospital downtown on the adolescent psych ward.
Wow. What were you doing?
I was on the nursing staff, taking classes at night, and I was categorized as a mental health worker. And you were there to like work with patients, and we would walk them to school, and we would take them on off unit activity. You were also an orderly. If there were problems, you know, you sometimes had to physically hold them down and such.
Ooh.
So yeah, there was a disturbed population. It was intense.
Yeah, I can imagine. You're telling me you sometimes maybe had to hold people down, and it reminds me, I had read that you were a football player in high school.
Oh my God, yes, I was.
And then on paper, you're a psychology student in college, and then you're an improv comedian. I mean, walk me through like what's happening unofficially that gets you to Matt Walsh, the professional performer.
My last year of college, a friend of mine told me that Second City has some kind of improv school.
Yeah.
And he's like, you'd be good at that. Because I was always trying to make my friends laugh, or I used it as a way of socially ingratiating myself in situations, perhaps. I don't know. I liked being funny. He told me about it, and I was curious about it. So I started driving into the city one night a week and coming back out. And I loved it. And I met a bunch of guys who were serious about it too. So when I was done with college, I moved in with like four other sketch hopeful performers and like a tiny two-bedroom apartment. I think there was five of us. And during the day I would do psychology, and then at night we would write and film sketches and run around Chicago filming pranks and doing shows.
That sounds like a lot of fun. So I know you and a few other folks left IO eventually, Amy Poehler, Matt Besser, Ian Roberts, and you started your own improv troupe, Upright Citizens Brigade, which has evolved into a few comedy theaters in New York and LA. And I wonder how you thought about carrying that culture of just support from IO into your work with the Brigade.
Well, UCB had been doing shows in Chicago for a while, and we'd studied at Improv Olympic, and we were trained in long form improvisation, which was this weird, back then it was a weird outsider art form that not a lot of people were doing, and now the whole world knows what yes and is. And then in like 1996 we moved to New York to try to get on TV with a sketch show, and we started doing our improv show for free in New York. And we bonded with a huge audience who was sort of blown away by this magic trick that we were doing, this sort of Chicago style, long form, fast paced improv without any script. And they thought we were cheating and they were curious. And then we ended up teaching classes. And then that grew into us finally renting a theater and then codifying it and writing a book. But it was all organic. We just had learned through many years in Chicago how to perform improv. And then we wanted to do a show in New York, and we gathered an audience, and we had a lot of friends in New York when we landed that were writing on SNL or Conan O'Brien. So we already had an audience or a peer group to bring on stage with us to perform. So it happened very fortunately, luckily. And I don't know if we ever had a plan. It just grew day by day.
It also seems like there's also an agreement that the audience enters into when they go to an improv show. Like, they give performers grace in a way. Does that resonate?
I think so. You're not watching it with the expectation of a finished product.
Yeah.
You're watching it with an eye towards discovery and risk and a sense of understanding that the starting point of all this, no one has any idea what it's going to be.
Yeah.
And so that understanding does create a bit of a contract or a permeable fourth wall, you
yes.
might call it. They're in it a little bit and they're nervous for you. And sometimes you interview that audience and you use their information in the scene work. And so it's a give and take between you in a different way than, say, a play where they're not really talking to you.
Uh-huh.
And certainly a movie where you're not interacting at all.
And a play and a movie usually scripted, you know, you just have a different expectation when you show up to that.
Yeah, I think so. It's obviously more forgiving. Yeah, there's an excitement, like, can they pull it off? There's a certain, because it is spontaneous, you're hoping it all comes to fruition and makes sense.
You're rooting for the people on stage almost.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have performed a lot as a comedic actor. Many people know you as Mike from Veep, but you also had a more serious role in the film Into the Storm. Tell me about performing in a drama role. And I know, I mean, even when you were, I think that recent film Unplugging, it was comedy, but it was like there are some dramatic, you know, kind of areas there too. Yeah, tell me about performing for a drama. Like, is it rough? Would you do it again? Was it hard to transition?
Yeah, Into the Storm was like an action movie, but a drama. I was with mostly dramatic actors,
yeah.
Very good actors. And it was challenging because their process was different than mine. And I felt like, oh, I'm out of my league at times.
Okay.
You know, it made me question like, oh, wow, maybe I'm not a good actor. But the reality is, if you're a good comedian, then you're a good actor because you have to commit to absurd realities and play them as if they're possibly real.
And that's what makes it sing, the commitment.
Yeah. But it does, when you bump into other people's processes and they might have like written a 6-month journal of their character before the events of the film, and you're Ooh. Like, holy shit, I'm not a good actor. I didn't even think of doing that. You know, I'm just rolling in and getting ready to give back and feel your energy, you know?
Yeah.
And then dramas are more taxing because you can't drop it. Like with a comedy, when they say cut, you're like, whew, that was fun. Where are we going for dinner? But with a drama, Ooh. If you're crying or breaking up with your wife or something heavy, it stays with you.
Speaking of your wife, you're also a husband, you're a father. I watched your interview on the Man Enough podcast. And
wow.
Yeah, I know that was a few years ago. But yeah, you talked about a lot about how your children and your wife have brought your understanding of like identity, privilege, compassion forward even more. For instance, I know two of your children are part of the queer community. You and your wife founded Open Book, which features LGBTQ affirming stories for young people. And I know a lot of people really try to keep work and family separate and feel like the two shouldn't interact, but it sounds like that's not the case for you. And I wonder, like, how do the things that come up at home impact the way you approach your work?
Well, a couple of things. Only one of them is in the queer community label now. No, it's okay. I'm just saying how it goes. Like you identify and then you don't identify.
Okay. So that has changed.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. And
as a way of informing my journey too. Like, oh, okay. It's all good. Like whatever. Doesn't matter. And then as far as keeping things separate, yes, I keep my private life private in that it's not for sale. Like I'm not trying to make money. It's not part of the show business. It's private. and I want to protect the innocence of my children's lives and, sure, you know, my personal life. But by the same token, it's life, and I use it like, you know, things my kids say I can use in a movie, or experiences I've had I can write into a movie or a script. You know what I mean? Like, it's my life, and it's also kind of keeps you, or does keep you, young and informed with what the next generation is all about, what their concerns are, where they're heading. And so you stay a little more relevant, hopefully, sure, and dialed in. Yeah. So it's separate, but also it is my life. It's my personal life. So I, of course I use it. I draw from it daily.
Yeah. Let's talk about this ensemble you got going on, Tim Meadows, Matt Walsh, and friends. Those friends being Brad Morris and Joe Canali. You're all alums of IO and Second City. Were you all there at the same time?
No, like Tim was ahead of me. Tim was like a senior when I was a freshman. I had probably left Chicago when Brad and Joe were sort of freshmen in the scene. I'd already gone on to New York. And then I connected with Tim in New York when he was on SNL and I was doing stuff at UCB. And then Joe and Brad and I became friends when they came to LA.
I have never seen you all do Meadows, Walsh, and Friends. I mean, what happens? Like, what are people going to generally see on stage?
Well, hopefully they'll see something spontaneous and hilarious.
Okay.
They will see it's completely made up on the spot. And we'll also sort of unveil parts of ourselves by sharing monologues throughout the show. So it's kind of a buffet of many styles, perhaps.
Okay. That sounds fun.
Yeah, it is. It's really fun and it's really funny and crowds seem to love it. So we've had great success.
Yeah. What does it feel like to be returning to a place, get on stage again with some of your, you know, people who've, for all of you, has been such a formative time in your life, in your career as a performer?
When I started doing improv 700 years ago, it was a very small community. It was very small, kind of an outsider art form, if you will. And now it's exploded. It's exploded and it's wonderful. And what I love about Chicago is people are serious about the work. They're not worried about where it's going to get them. It's not like I need to get an agent or I need to get on TV right away. They're just doing the work for the audience in the room. And they also appreciate the craft and the subtlety of good improv. So I always have a blast coming to Chicago because the audiences are improv savvy. So I really do love it. And it's an excuse to come see my family.
Matt Walsh is a comedian, actor, director, and improviser. Matt, thank you.
Thank you, Erin.
Meadows, Walsh, and Friends is performing at the IO Theater on October 22nd and 23rd. You can find more information at ioimprov.com. And that's it for today. Justin Bull and I produce The Rundown. Ariel Van Cleve is our editor and executive producer. Haley Bloomquist was the engineer for this episode. Our theme music is by Louis Weeks. The Rundown is produced by WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening. Before I go, I have some big news about the future of the Rundown podcast. First of all, this is our last week of midday episodes. So, starting Monday, October 7th, I will no longer be hosting the more in-depth conversations I've been doing on the show for almost 2 years now. Adorna Migude and Lisa Lavis will still be hosting the morning and afternoon news episodes, keeping you up to date twice a day with a quick rundown of Chicago news from the WBEZ and Chicago Sun-Times newsrooms. And eventually, we're planning to lean into some longer news feature stories from reporters in our newsrooms, too. As for me and our producer, Justin Bull, we're going to still be around as well. Starting later this fall, we're actually going to be working on another show you may already know and love, Curious City. I'll be the host, and Justin will produce the show. We'll be joining Susie Ahn, who has been editing and producing Curious City for a while now, which means we'll still be letting our natural curiosity lead the way, and we're going to be talking to you even more. The whole point of Curious City is to answer your questions about this city we love so much. So, if you haven't already, subscribe to Curious City wherever you listen to podcasts. And let's get this thing going. If you have questions about Chicago and the region that you want us to investigate and answer, you can ask at wbez.org/curiouscity, or you can email curiouscity@wbez.org. Okay, that's all the updates for now. I do want to take this moment to say, as I always do at the end of every episode I host, thank you for listening to the Rundown Podcast. It has been a lovely way to experience this big little city with you. So, me and Nudia Hernandez will be here with our final episode on Friday, and then that's it. After that, I'll see you later this fall at Curious City.